Amen. Okay, we're ready to start. Today is January 10th, 11th, 12th? 13th. January 13th, 2014. One time we do Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Okay, so now we're in Pali 201. Intermediate Pali, you finished elementary or basic Pali. We didn't have a graduation ceremony, just like Mrs. Like Liu has for the Chinese. No, but everybody gets up and reads some passage in Pali. Okay, so we're going to continue with the explanation of the grammar. So last time I went through section 6 of the grammar, so now we're on section 7. This is on page 10. And so this is dealing agreement of adjectives. So this is a very simple point, that adjectives agree in gender, case, and number with the nouns that they modify. No, agree, 不要, 没有, 同意的意思. It doesn't mean agree that you have the same thought. It means that if the noun is masculine, singular, nominative, the adjective describing it is masculine, singular, nominative. If the noun is feminine, plural, let's say instrumental, the adjective is feminine, plural, instrumental. So some examples they give here. Kusalo Dhammo.
No, Bunny, I just have to, if I have time, I'll come here. And also check on them also.
Okay, it's good to take attendance.
Please keep on.
Okay, so kusalo dhammo. So dhammo is masculine, nominative, singular. And so the adjective kusala, here comes kusalo, masculine, nominative, singular. Or if we have the noun is dhamma, that's qualities, mental qualities. Well, here he has factors. And then it's described by akusala. So akusala is also masculine, nominative, plural. But here we have chitang. Chitang is given here neuter nominative. And so the adjective adantang is also neuter nominative, singular. And so also they say that usually the adjectives precede the noun that they modify, but not necessarily. Sometimes the adjective can come after the noun. Okay, any questions about this? Okay, then. Yeah.
It looks like we can form adjective either from verb or from noun, right?
Form adjective.
Like, for example, past participle.
Yeah, past participles
can act as adjective, but we can have derived from verb.
Yeah, past participles function as adjectives. They can function as adjectives.
And in this case, for example, kusala, they are nouns, but they function as adjectives.
No, kusala and akusala are proper adjectives. Though sometimes an adjective can stand without the noun, then the adjective becomes a noun. So the borderline between adjectives and nouns in Pali, it's much more open than in English. So you can have an adjective can stand alone. A word that's normally an adjective can stand alone, then it becomes a noun. And then a past participle can become an adjective. Any other question? Okay, then let's go to section 8. 8, this is called accusative of destination. It sounds very difficult, but what this means is that with a verb of motion, the destination is regularly in the accusative. To put this more simply, when we use the word to go to a place, the word for the place is in the accusative. So in other words, the idea of to belongs to the verb rather than to the destination. So here, Buddhang saranang gacchami. So gacchami really means I go to. And then the place that one goes to, in this case, Buddhang, is accusative. Or suppose we say the monk goes to the monastery. Bhikkhu viharang gacchati. So viharang is accusative, and the verb gacchati would be translated goes to. And so the destination, in this case viharang, is accusative. Ting de dong? Wo zai simiao. Sure. I have to put this. 我到寺庙去. In Pali, the idea of Dao belongs to the verb 去.
Okay.
Oh, we missed. Oh, sorry.
Long definition.
Okay, we just started, so don't worry. Does somebody have a question? Yes, Stephen.
Is it also for four? Because it seems like I go to the Buddha four.
Yeah, we're going to come to that when we come to the reading selection.
Okay.
Because that the taking refuge comes in the reading passages.
Okay.
So let's just put that off till then.
Have other uses the way we use accusative in English, or is it strictly in relation to a directional place?
No, many, many uses of accusative. Okay, so let's continue. The next one is conjoining in a series. So he says, items in a sentence, even whole sentences, may be conjoined, that means joined together, simply by giving them a sequence. You don't need to use ch or any other equivalent of English and. So here, the example given is, this would be in the explanation of right effort. So, kusalanang tammanang titiya usamosaya bio bhavaya. There should be a long A. The next to the last one should be long. Vapulaya. So this is, he makes an effort, okay, kusalanang dhammanang, for good qualities. Then we have tithya, that's translated here, persistence, for the persistence. Ussamosaya, that means for non-confusion. Biobhavaya means for increasing. And vepulaya, for, they have for fulfillment of good qualities, kusalanam dhammanam. So you see, you have like a whole series of nouns in the dative that are just joined together. This is very common in both Pali and Sanskrit. You can just create a whole series by stringing words together. Oh, I see, it should continue. Chandang janeti vayamati viryang arabati. He generates resolution. He strives. He makes an effort. So it should be kusalanang dhammanang tithya asamosaya biobhavaya vepulaya chandang janeti vayamati viryang arabati. So he generates resolution, he strives, he makes an effort for the persistence, non-confusion, increase, and fulfillment of good qualities or wholesome qualities. Okay, 10. This is very important in Pali. This is called it is.
Never.
Yeah, the connection.
Get up,
yeah. Connection seems unstable here.
Right now I am connected. I'm through Wuju, non-locked, non-password. It's, I get, I'm on now, in case this helps for reference to this point you're connecting on.
You're on a network?
I'm on Wuju Library, the unlocked open one. There's a one that's HW6S5 that's locked that I'm not on. So just compare our two when we get booted. I'm so far still on the unlocked one.
Okay, let's just try it.
Saved. You have
I know, I see it. We lost you. Okay, let us try that. Maybe we take this out.
Wireless?
Okay.
This one?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And
if the wireless, it's already.
So it's connected?
Yeah, but very low.
It's low energy.
Yeah.
She's joining the class.
I think, Pandey, I think it's because it happened recently.
Yeah.
And I think it's much to do with the router, because usually router have a have a lifespan. People don't know that.
Oh, it has a lifespan.
Usually you can use a router maybe for 2 or 3 years.
Oh.
Anyway, I asked them to test it later.
Okay.
Change another one. Yeah.
Okay, I think we just have to go through the class. I'm sorry, but we have to continue with the class. And they'll catch, they'll have to catch the recording. What is that?
Is it connected by the cord or no? Or just wireless?
No, it's wireless. Okay, we just have to continue with the class. That's all. Okay, so compound, this is a topic very important in Pali. Of course, you could form many words by joining together two other words. Like in English, we have compounds too, like waterfall. A place where water falls. Pot holder, something to hold a pot. Tabletop, the top of a table. So here they give a compound by joining two nouns, iti saddo. So this is iti, woman, plus saddo is sounds. So iti saddo is the sound of a woman. Then the next example is puriso, which means man, and rupang is the visible form. So purisa rupang, the form of a man. And when you form a compound, usually the first part of the compound goes in what is called the stem form. That is, the first part isn't declined. So iti is the stem form of woman. So it's not nominative, accusative, instrumental, whatever, but it's just the stem form. And it's the second word in the compound, or the last word, that is declined according to number, case, gender. It's not always the case. There are some exceptions, but we don't have to be concerned with them now. Okay, then in the note, if you look at the note on page 11, go down a few sentences. He says, the student must learn to recognize compounds by looking up their parts. This is an important skill since compounding is very frequent in Pali and in some kinds of texts. Very long and complex compounds are formed, are found. So, especially when you get to commentaries, they can make a compound that will go from the left-hand margin to the right-hand margin. So sometimes even extending beyond one, two lines. Okay, any questions on this so far? Okay, so let's go to the reading passages. Okay, and start, this is on page 1. So here we have, we start off with even the most basic Buddhist formula. This is the formula for going for refuge. And so, first to practice pronunciation, I'll speak and then you speak after me. It's, this won't be a ceremony, it's practice in pronunciation. So, Bodang Saranang. Bodang Saranang Gacchami.
Bodang Saranang Gacchami.
Dhammang Saranang Gacchami.
Dhammang Saranang Gacchami.
Sanghang Saranang Gacchami.
Sanghang Saranang Gacchami.
Okay, so when we translate this into English, we say, I go to the Buddha. Okay. Oh. Welcome back. But if it drops, I can't keep on trying to. I can't keep on trying to reconnect. There's a faulty connection here. We're going to look into it. And maybe we have to change the router or move to another place if that doesn't work. Okay, so we're in the reading section now. So we have Bodang Saranang Gacchami. Now, when we translate this into English, we usually translate, I go to the Buddha for refuge, or I take refuge in the Buddha. But now if we look at the Pali, first look at the verb, gacchami. Now gacchami is the first person singular. And so for this reason, we don't have to say aham, I, but it's possible just to have the verb on its own. And when you see the verb, since it's first person singular, indicative verb, present tense, it already implies I. So you can translate gacchami, you can say he goes for refuge. That would be mixing up the persons. So gacchami means I go. So already the I is implied by the verb gacchami. Okay, so if you want to be full, you could say Ahang Bodang Saranang Gacchami. That's correct also. But it seems when the formula came down, they wanted to make it simple, so they cut off the I and they just used the verb gacchami. But the I is there. The I is already there in the verb. Okay, then we say go for refuge. I go for refuge to the Buddha, or I take refuge in the Buddha. But if we translate very strictly according to the Pali, then what we're saying is, I go I go to the Buddha who is a refuge, or I go to the refuge, or I go to the Buddha refuge, or I go to the Buddha who is a refuge, or I go I don't know how else to say. Okay, I go to the Dhamma, then sort of implied, which is a refuge. Or I go to the Dhamma refuge. Again, I go to the Sangha refuge. Or I go to the Sangha, which is a refuge. And so you don't have to say, have words for which is, but Bhutang, what case is it?
Accusative.
And Saranang, what case?
Accusative.
Yeah, so there, and what is the number? Bhutang Saranang?
Singular.
So it's accusative, singular. And so they're both accusative singulars, and you know, we understand the context that what is meant is Buddha is the refuge. And so we just say, I go to the Buddha refuge. Or I go to the refuge Buddha, we could say. I go to the refuge Dhamma. I go to the refuge Sangha. Okay, so now that's usually, you know, in the formula, we do the refuges three times. So now the second time is Dutiyampi Bhutang Saranang Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Bhutang Saranang Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Sangang Saranang Gacchami.
Dutiyampi Sangang Saranang Gacchami.
Okay, so this is the standard way of, you know, going for refuge three times. So the main part is exactly the same as the first time, but now we have Dutiyampi. And what kind of word is Dutiyampi? Do you know what class it belongs to of words?
Counting word. Counting word.
Is it a type of noun?
Is it a noun? It's like an adverb. The technical word for this is indeclinable. Maybe we didn't have... Did we have this with Lily De Silva? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
We didn't have it.
I don't think so.
Okay, in Pali it's called Nipata Muttang. All right. This means it's not masculine, not feminine, not...
No, you can try again. You just change the combination.
Okay, let's see.
No.
No, I think we leave it otherwise.
Is actually the thing. Use that.
Okay, Jason changed the connection. Let's see if this one is better. Okay, so dudiyam, or the word dudiyang, is an indeclinable, which means second, like a second time. This is, in Chinese, say zaibian. Zai. Oh, I think you say, what did you say, zaibian?
Zaibian.
Okay, so it's just indeclinable. It's not masculine, feminine, neuter, not singular, not plural. You're just not declined at all.
I don't understand why it's defined in the vocabulary list as dutiya, an accusative form.
Anyway, I see it as being an indeclinable.
Okay, that sounds easier.
Tatio.
And tatia is, tatiam is, says yep. Accusative of tatia.
Okay, I think we just have to leave it. Otherwise, there's too much interruption and people can't pay attention. They'll have to get it off the Dropbox. Okay, so dutiyam is indeclinable, and then the P has a sense simply of conjunction, like again. Dutiyam P. Just like and, the same thing as and. Or here, maybe again, so a second time, again, I go for refuge to the Buddha. A second time, again, I go for refuge to the Dhamma. A second time, again, I go for refuge to the Sangha. And then we do the third time. Okay, tatiyampi. Buddhang saranang gacchami.
Buddhang saranang gacchami.
Tatiyampi. Dhammang saranang gacchami.
Dhammang saranang gacchami.
Tatiyampi. Sanghang saranang gacchami.
Sanghang saranang gacchami.
So tatiyang means a third time, and then P is just conjunction. So a third time, again, I go for refuge to the Buddha. A third time, again, I go for refuge to the Dhamma. A third time, again, I go for refuge to the Sangha. Well, literally, I go to the Buddha refuge, I go to the Dhamma refuge, I go to the Sangha refuge.
This is also Nipata Matam. This is also
The Tatiyam is also an indeclinable. Okay, any questions on this? And let's go to the next passage.
Yeah.
So here we have, it's actually...
I have one question.
Yeah.
It will be the tati ampi or tati ampi?
Okay, this is an interesting point. I didn't bring this up to keep things simple, but actually, you see, in the book, it's printed as the M with the dot.
Yeah.
that's called the Nigahita. But actually, because that ung is followed by the p, it really should be turned, the ung should be turned into a simple m without a dot under it. Because that makes it easier to pronounce, because instead of saying Dudi Yung P, it's easier to say Dudi Yum P. So when you see printed Pali books, it'll be printed without a dot under the M, but it'll be just the ordinary M sound with the P joined to that. But this isn't so important, so I didn't bring it up. And because the P, you see, it just doesn't really add much meaning, so it's just automatically sort of joined to the final um. Okay, now we come, let's take section two. So here we have like a string of almost synonymous sentences. Or actually pairs of sentences. One, two, three, four pairs of sentences. So first I'll read and I'll break each sentence up so to make it easier to recite. Chitang bhikkhave adantang.
Chitang bhikkhave adantang.
Mahato anataya.
Mahato anataya.
Sangvatatiti.
Sangvatatiti.
Then the next. Chitang bhikkhave.
Chitang bhikkhave.
Dantang.
Dantang.
Mahato ataya.
Mahato ataya.
Sangvatatiti.
Sangvatatiti.
Okay, so here first I'll give word for word translation. Then we'll see how it makes a meaningful sentence. So chitang means mind, the mind. And in this case, or in this sentence, chitang is what case?
Nominative.
It's the nominative. So chitang is a neuter noun, not masculine, not feminine, but neuter. And here it's the nominative and it's singular. Okay, then the word bhikkhave is what we call vocative. That means here the Buddha speaking, he's addressing the monks. So he says, O monks. So the mind, O monks. Then we come to what's originally a past participle, but it's used as an adjective, adantang, which is similar to the English word untamed, which is, even in English, untamed is a past participle used as an adjective. Untamed. Then we have mahato anataya. Now this you might find a little confusing because there's two endings here. We have to and aya. But mahato is an adjective which means great or large, describing anataya. And now we know the adjective has to agree with the noun. So why does mahato have this ending to, while anata has the dative ending aya to make anataya? The reason is that the adjective maha, or the stem form is mahant, is declined similar to the present participle. Or like, you don't have, does anybody have the Lily De Silva book with them?
Yes.
It's similar to like gunavant. Let's see. You would find this on page 115. You don't have to look at it now. You could just make a note of it. So with the adjective gunavantu, which means virtuous, we have the nominative gunava, and then we have the dative genitive gunavato, gunavato. And so with the word that means great or large, the stem form is mahan, and nominative is maha, and dative is mahato. But the word meaning harm, anatta, so the word that means great is mahant, I don't know if you guys can see, anyways, M-A-H-A-N-T, that's the stem form, so when you form the nominative, it turns into maha, or maha, which means great or large, and the dative is mahato, the way we have it here. But the word that means harm is anatta with a short A. In the nominative it would be anatto, and in the dative it would be anattaya. So they're both dative, dative singular. But the dative for maha and the data for anatta are declined somewhat differently. But when you join them, then you get mahato anattaya. So it means too great harm. And then the verb is sangvatati, which means leads to. That extra T at the end, that's just like the end quotation. It would have been better if they didn't put that, just at sangvatati. So the meaning then is the mind, O monks, untamed, leads to great harm. And then the counterpart sentence just below is Did we recite the counterpart? Mm-hmm. No, we did. Okay. So the counterpart is again chitang bhikkhave. So the mind, O monks, then dantang tamed, mahato ataya sangvatati, leads to great good. So the opposite. Mm-hmm. So the mind, O monks, that is tamed, leads to great good. And you see, because sangvatati takes a dative as the object. So that's why we have harm is anattaya. If you look at your declension of the nouns in short A, you see the dative is aya, the dative ending. So anattaya, and then the opposite, atta, the dative is aya. So the mind that is untamed leads to great harm. The mind that is tamed leads to great good. Any questions on this? So we go on to the next.
Is this for tum-tum related to teeth?
No, okay. No, no. It's related to the verb is dumity, which means to tame. So there is the Pali word danta, which does mean teeth. And it's related to, I mean, we say it in English, dentist.
Dante.
Or dental, as the adjective, dental. Yeah.
Dumity, I couldn't find it in dictionary. I only, I found just the dumity, but I couldn't find the dumity.
I think what you will find would be dumity is the causative to tame, and then it might be dumity with two M's to be tamed.
It's there? Because I could, yeah.
It's M D A long A M Y A T I.
In Chinese, you have like two M's, and there's no entry for Dhammati.
According to this dictionary, it says.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, maybe I missed it. M Y A T, which is just Sanskrit, is it Tamiyati?
Yeah, actually, the Pali English Dictionary doesn't have it. Doesn't have dhammati in the passive, but it has dhammati,
yes,
which is actively to tame. Whereas I think it would be dhammati, or dhammati with two M's would be the passive form, to be tamed. But anyway, we have the form danta in the dictionary, which is to be tamed, to be controlled, to be restrained. Okay, so now the remaining sentences here, really that's the same pattern, it's just that the word has changed, one word has changed. So we could just go through this pretty quickly. So we have chitang bhikkhave agutang.
Chitang bhikkhave agutang.
Mahato anataya sangvatati.
Mahato anataya sangvatati.
Chitang bhikkhave guttang.
Chitang bhikkhave guttang.
Mahato ataya sangvatati.
Mahato ataya sangvatati.
So the one word different here is aguttang, which can mean unguarded. So the mind unguarded leads to great harm. And then the second one is the mind guarded leads to great good. Ding de dong. Okay, then the next pair of sentences. Chitang bhikkhave arakitang.
Chitang bhikkhave arakitang.
Mahato anataya.
Mahato anataya.
Sangvatati.
Sangvatati.
And chitang bhikkhave rakitang.
Chitang bhikkhave rakitang.
Mahato ataya sangvatati.
Mahato ataya sangvatati.
Okay, so here the word that's different is a rakitang, which means, you could say, unprotected. And rakitang is protected. I think in Chinese this would be like shou hu.
Shou hu.
Is that
yes,
correct?
Bao hu, shou
hu. Bao hu, shou hu.
Yeah.
And bush. 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 Bushou hu. Okay, so the mind that is unprotected leads to great harm, and the mind that is protected leads to great good. Okay, then we come to the fourth pair, Chitang bhikkhave asangbhutang.
Chitang bhikkhave asangbhutang.
Mahato anataya.
Mahato anataya.
Sangvatati.
Sangvatati.
And then chitang bhikkhave.
Chitang bhikkhave.
Sangbhutang.
Sangbhutang.
Mahato ataya.
Mahato ataya.
Sangvatati.
Sangvatati.
Okay, so here the word that's different is asangbhutang, which means unrestrained, and sangbhutang, which means restrained. I think this would be Chinese, sure. S-H-E, drawn in. I know what it is. I don't remember how to write it. What is used for sung verb? There is a sh, yeah. Okay, so the meaning here, the first sentence, the mind unrestrained, the mind that is unrestrained leads to great harm. And the mind, O monks, that is restrained, leads to great good. Any question on these sentences?
I have a question about
Bhante.
Okay, let's take Suki first, then Kim. Okay, Suki?
I have a question about meaning.
Yeah.
The difference between Agutang and Arakitang, unguarded and unprotected, what exactly?
They're almost synonymous. Yeah. In real practical application, there's no difference. They're just different words. Okay, Kim?
What's the infinitive verb for Mahato?
No, Mahato is purely an adjective. It doesn't have, it's not derived from a verb.
Oh, okay.
It means large or great.
And anatta is a noun, Bhante? Anatta?
Anatta is a noun, yeah.
Okay.
It means harm.
I was thinking of this difference between unguarded and unprotected, like an active versus passive. In one case, I have to protect myself and not rise up in a case where my mind is provoked by something. And in another place, I have to guard my outgoing force when it's unwise. So in one case, I'm protecting from an unwise force. And
I mean, one could read, you know, different nuances into it, but the way the words are used are pretty much synonymous. In fact, we have, like, the expression gutta dvara, like he's guarded in the sense doors. And then we have sangvutindriya, one with faculties restrained, or rakitindriya, one with faculties protected. So it's almost synonymous. To discuss this, we're getting sort of away from Pali into English. Okay, so let's move on then to the next. Actually, the next sentence just groups all of these together. Mm-hmm. So he's, the text says, and here first there's a spelling. Okay, first in my edition there's a spelling correction. Who has the reprint? Let me just take a quick look to see if they corrected that. No, it's also in this edition. It's in the second line. They have sangvatatiti, but it should be simply sangvatati. Okay, so just correct that. Okay, so let's read this together. Okay. Nahang bhikkhave.
Nahang bhikkhave.
Anyang eka dhammampi.
Anyang eka dhammampi.
Sammanupassami.
Sammanupassami.
Yang evang adantang.
Yang evang adantang.
Agutang.
Agutang.
Arakitang.
Arakitang.
Asangvutang.
Asangvutang.
Mahato anataya.
Mahato anataya.
Sangvatati.
Sangvatati.
Yatai dang.
Yatai dang.
Bhikkhave.
Bhikkhave.
Chitang.
Chitang.
Chitang bhikkhave.
Chitang bhikkhave.
Adantang agutang.
Adantang agutang.
Arakitang asangvutang.
Arakitang asangvutang.
Mahato anataya.
Mahato anataya.
Sangvatati.
Sangvatati.
Okay, so we start off with the word nahung. What does nahung mean?
Not me. Not I.
Right.
Not me.
Nahung is an example of, we had it last week, sandhi. Sandhi means joining together. So nahung is a sandhi of two words,
na
plus ahung. So you know, you don't want to be troubled to say na, then you have to pause a little bit and then say ahung. And meanwhile, the ice cream man might be coming down the street, and if you're pausing, you might miss your chance to order some ice cream. So to speed things up, you say nahung. So you join na and ahung to get nahung. Okay, now when I translate word for word, and this might sound a little weird in English, but you have to remember different people have different ways of expressing things. So, like when you people from the Chinese-speaking world hear the way things are spoken in English, you probably think, these guys are weird, right? The way they express things. So you might think of this of the Pali way. Mm-hmm. So nahung is not I, O monks. Then we have another, this anyang is another. Now here we have a compound, eka dhammang. Eka means one. And dhamma has a very broad meaning here. We could just say thing. So one thing. And it's followed by P. And here P, the word P has several meanings depending on context. Here we could translate it as even. So even one other thing. And as Venerable Satchananda pointed out before, like if I were sort of re-editing this book, I would use not the M with the dot, but the ordinary M and join P to it. So eka dhammam pi. That's the way you would find it in normal printed Pali books. So one other thing, even one other thing. Then we have here the main verb, samanupassami. Let's see what they give to this in the glossary. See or perceive correctly. So here we could say simply see or perceive or even recognize. Let's leave it simple. See. It's based on the verb pasati with first person singular pasami, but it's a little more complex, so it has two prefixes, sam plus anu. So that's why it takes on the meaning not so much just like seeing with the eye, but it's like mentally seeing. So we could say regard or recognize or perceive. Then yang is a relative pronoun, we could say which in English. Evang is in this way, so, such, thus. Then we have this whole series of words. We already know the meaning. Adantang, untamed. Agutang, unguarded. Arakitang, unprotected. Asangbutang, unrestrained. Then we have Mahato Anataya. What case?
Dative.
So we know those are datives. To great harm. Then another verb, sangvatati, leads to. Then we have a word, yutta. We came across this at the end of the Lily de Silva book that means, at least in some cases, as. And then it's followed by idang, this. Now, normally, you know, if we were writing each word separately, we would have yutta with the long A, followed by idang, this. But this is an example of, another example of sandhi, connecting yutta to idang to make it easy to pronounce. You know, if you say yutta idang, you know, it's not as hard as climbing Mount Everest or translating from Chinese into from Sanskrit into Chinese. But it's a little hard to say yutta idang. Mm-hmm. But if you want to make it easy, it seems, you know, like the Indians like to say things in an easy way. So you put a Y there, and then yatayidang. You see how easy it is compared to yatayidang? Hananshwa. Yatayidang. But bijiao rongishwa, yatayidang. So you put a Y and you just join them. Mm-hmm. So it means as this. Then it seems in the audience, monks were continually letting their attention drift. So the Buddha always has to put in bhikkhave. Whoops. He's talking to me. Oh, monks. Then mind. Okay, so let's put this whole sentence together. So the Buddha speaking, he says, and notice here, like in normal sentence structure, the negation, the na, will come before the verb. So if we were making like a normal sort of textbook sentence, we would say, ahang bhikkhave anyang ekadamampi na samanupasami. You see, na samanupasami. I do not regard, I do not see, I do not perceive. But this sentence begins with the na, and so it becomes, puts special emphasis on the negation. Like it's, you know, like I really don't. So here the Buddha is saying, not I, O monks, perceive even one other thing which, when so untamed, unguarded, unprotected, unrestrained leads to great harm as this, O monks, mind. So idang goes with chitang. As this mind. And so I'll use a fairly normal English sentence. O monks, I do not perceive even is the P, even one other thing which, when untamed, unguarded, unprotected, unrestrained, leads to such great harm as this mind, O monks. Then the next sentence, the mind, O monks, then we could add when, the mind, O monks, when untamed, unguarded, unprotected, unrestrained, leads to great harm. Or the mind, O monks, that is untamed, unguarded, unprotected, unrestrained, leads to great harm. Understand? Any questions about this little passage?
Does the not I sort of also mean sort of even I, or like even I can't?
I'm not so sure that there's even there.
Okay.
Then I think you would get it, the P after the ahang, aham P, naham P. But it's more just a little bit flavored. Wouldn't show up in an English translation, because I don't know how to give special emphasis to that not. But in Pali, it really puts a little bit of stress on the not, the negation. Shall we go on to the next? Okay, let's go on to the next. Now it's getting a little more complicated. Okay, first I'll recite, then we'll go through it. Micha ditti kasa bhikkhave.
Micha ditti kasa bhikkhave.
Anupanna cheva.
Anupanna cheva.
Akusala dhamma.
Akusala dhamma.
Upajanti.
Upajanti.
Upanacha.
Upanacha.
Akusala dhamma.
Akusala dhamma.
Vepulaya.
Vepulaya.
Sangvatanti.
Sangvatanti.
Okay, first we take the word micchaditthikassa. Now, you've come across the word micchaditthi, I think. Micchaditthi means wrong view. Or in Chinese, I think it's xiejian. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. But here we have not micchaditthi, but micchaditthikassa. Now, what happens when you put the k here? That means it turns it into a person with wrong view. And then this is kasa, the dative case, or it's actually, you could say, genitive dative. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish them. So micha ditti kasa, I think in Chinese this would be xie jian de, or one who has a wrong view,
mm-hmm.
And it's dative, so for one who has a wrong view, for a person with wrong view. And then monk is getting a little drowsy, so bhikkhave. Yeah, yes, Pate. For one with wrong view, O monks, then anupanna means unarisen, and then unarisen goes with akusala dhamma, that is, unwholesome qualities. And then the verb is upajanti, arise. So if we just had this part, it would say, micha ditti kasa bhikave anupana akusala dhamma upajanti. For a person with wrong view, O monks, unarisen, unwholesome qualities arise. However, there are two parts to the sentence. And so, to join the two parts, we use cha, and. And if you remember what I said when we worked through the grammar, in Pali, when you join two parts with and, with a conjunction, both parts get an and. It's not like in English, and comes between the two parts. The cat is on the mat, and the dog is in the garden. But in Pali, the cat is on the mat, and the dog is in the garden, and. Mm-hmm. So here we have and in both parts. And now, to show that it's a conjunction with two parts, this is done commonly in Pali. You join eva to the first cha. And this is a case, another case of sandhi, of joining of words. Cha plus eva. You know, I don't have the energy to say cha and eva. You know, it's after lunch and I want to take a nap. So I want to skip a little time, a split second. So I drop the and I say cheva. And the eva here, usually eva gives a little emphasis, but here eva doesn't even give emphasis. It's just a way of, I don't know, making a conjunction. So even if you just said ch without the eva, it would have the same meaning. Okay, then the second part, we went through the first part. The second part, upana, means arisen. Then the ch and akusala dhamma, unwholesome qualities. Mm-hmm. So arisen, unwholesome qualities. Vepulaya. Vepulaya means, well, the word vepula means vastness, largeness. Let's see the meaning they give here. Fullness. Okay, fullness, abundance. And the case here is dative. It's the dative, because we have the aya ending. Mm-hmm. So vepula is, I think it's, yeah, it's in the neuter. And so the dative of the neuter is aya, vepulaya. And we have sangvatanti. I don't like putting vatantiti. That just means end quotation. But to keep it simple, we just say sangvatanti. So, and arisen, unwholesome qualities, here literally, lead to vastness, to abundance, or to fullness. That sounds weird in English. So if you were making a translation for a public to read, you would say, and arisen, unwholesome qualities become full, or become abundant. Mm-hmm. But since we want to be pretty literal, so we'll say, and arisen unwholesome qualities lead to fullness, lead to abundance. And so you could see how, in a way, rational the Buddha is, or logical, that unwholesome qualities can be in two conditions. One is unarisen. So if you have a wrong view, then you take the unwholesome qualities which have not arisen, and when you adopt the wrong view, then those unwholesome qualities arise. And then the other part, or the other condition of the unwholesome qualities, they already can have arisen, but then somebody adopts the wrong view, and then those unwholesome qualities get strengthened or reinforced by the wrong view, and so they become stronger or fuller, more powerful. Okay, so putting it all together, we have for a person of wrong view, O monks, unarisen, unwholesome qualities arise, and arisen, unwholesome qualities lead to fullness or become full. Any questions about this? Any questions from the internet?
They're frozen.
Oh, really?
Stunned.
Just you.
We have to wake them up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just, you know, because I'm just reading here and glancing up, and I just see them all. And
there.
Yeah, they'll just have to get it off the Dropbox. Okay, so but there's somebody there who's alive. Kim?
No, that's you.
Okay, at least we have some people here. Anybody have questions here? Okay, so let's take the next sentence.
The word for fullness, like in this use, is it does it have like vapulaya? Is it always negative, or does it have? It's not always a negative.
Vapula.
Yeah.
No, it can be. It's used in a positive way,
okay.
Like with the factors, all of like the factors of enlightenment. When they're cultivated, it's said that they go to vipulaya and the wholesome qualities and the right effort. Okay, so let's take the next sentence. So here we have a similar structure to the previous, to an earlier sentence. Okay, nahang bhikkhave,
nahang bhikkhave,
anyang ekadamampi, samanupassami,
samanupassami,
yena
anupanna,
va,
va,
kusala
dhamma,
nupajanti, upanava,
upanava,
kusala
dhamma.
Parihayanti.
Yatai dang bhikkhave.
Micha ditti. Let's take the whole thing. Micha ditti kassa bhikkhave.
Micha ditti kassa bhikkhave.
Anupanna cheva.
Kusala dhamma.
Nupajanti.
Nupajanti.
Upanacha.
Upanacha.
Kusala Dhamma.
Kusala Dhamma.
Parihayanti.
Parihayanti.
Okay, so here again we're starting with that emphatic, not I, O monks, and then another one Dhamma, even I perceive. Okay, so I do not perceive, O monks, even one other thing. But now we have yena. So yena here means first, what case is it?
It's a pronoun, it's an instrumental.
Right, it's the instrumental. It's the instrumental of the pronoun yang, which usually means which. Mm-hmm. So here it means by which, but often the instrumental takes on a causal sense. So it means a cause, because of which. Like yin wei, right? So because of which, unarisen, we'll skip the va here, just go from anupana akusala dhamma, because of which, unarisen, unwholesome qualities na upajanti. Again, this is a sandhi of na plus upajanti, do not arise. And then the va means or. So or, then we have unwholesome qualities. Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped down. Okay. No, I jumped down. Upanava kusala dhamma parihayanti. Or arisen, wholesome qualities, then the verb parihayanti, which means decline or decrease. Then yatai idang, as this, O monks, wrong view. Okay, so putting it together, so I do not see, or I do not perceive, O monks, even one other thing, because of which unarisen, wholesome qualities do not arise, or arisen, wholesome qualities decrease, as this, O monks, wrong view. And then coming sort of to the conclusion of this, for one of wrong view, O monks, unarisen, wholesome qualities do not arise, and arisen, wholesome qualities decrease. You see, it links together very logically. And so the wholesome qualities, again, can be in two conditions. One is unarisen. So good qualities have not yet arisen. And so if one has wrong view, then the wrong view prevents good qualities from arising. And if one already has good qualities, but then one adopts a wrong view, then the wrong view will cause the good qualities to decrease. So, any questions about this grammatically?
Yes, Pandey. Yeah. Why, in the first paragraph, we use yang ewang, and then the following, we use yen.
Okay, that's a good question. Okay, the reason is that in the previous paragraph we have yang ewang adantang. And so young is referring to chitang. So they're both actually accusative because the Buddha perceives, let me just take a look at this. Yeah. It's, the Buddha will be saying, that I perceive the mind, which, and so the which here is the young, which when so untamed, unguarded, unprotected, unrestrained, leads to great harm. So young is like the direct object of samanupassami. I perceive, what I perceive is chitang, the mind. But in this sentence, in the second part of section 3, what the Buddha perceives is actually micchaditti. Actually, micchaditti is here nominative because it's not the direct object. But the yena has the function of because of which. It has an instrumental function.
So that means because of which means the micchaditti?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's because of micchaditti that the unarisen, unwholesome qualities, the unarisen, wholesome qualities do not arise.
I see. So similarly, in the following paragraphs, yena goes, for example, yena is samaditti.
Yeah, we'll come to that paragraph. That's just below. And I realize in that other paragraph on the mind, on chitang, where we have yatai idang bhikkhave chitang. Actually, idang doesn't go with chitang, but the sense is, it's a little hard to get this, but as this, then we have to say, like, namely, the mind. It's not as this mind, you know, like saying this mind, but it's as this, namely, the mind. Because here we have yatai dung, and you see idung is neuter, not masculine, not feminine. But micha ditti, I think it's feminine. Ditti, I think, is feminine. I believe ditti is feminine. Mm-hmm. Oh, poor folks. Anyway, let us continue. Okay, let's take the next sentence. Okay, so I'll recite it. Nahang bhikkhave.
Nahang bhikkhave.
Anyang ekadamampi.
Anyang ekadamampi.
Samanupasami.
Samanupasami.
Yena anupanava.
Yena anupanava.
Akusala dhamma.
Akusala dhamma.
Nupajanti.
Nupajanti.
Upanava.
Upanava.
Akusala dhamma.
Akusala dhamma.
Parihayanti.
Parihayanti.
Yataidam bhikkhave.
Yataidam bhikkhave.
Samaditti.
Samaditti.
Samaditti kassa bhikkhave.
Samaditti kassa bhikkhave.
Anupanna ceva.
Anupanna ceva.
Akusala dhamma.
Akusala dhamma.
Nupajanti.
Nupajanti.
Upanacha.
Upanacha.
Akusala dhamma.
Akusala dhamma.
Parihayanti.
Parihayanti.
Okay, so here the structure is the same, it's just inverted because of the kind of view. So, nahung, not I, O monks, then another one thing even, perceive, I perceive, yena, because of which, then anupana, go directly to akusala dhamma, unarisen, unwholesome qualities, na upajanti, do not arise, and then upana, akusala dhamma parihayanti, unarisen, unwholesome qualities, decrease. So we have two statements, two parts, and then they're joined by va, which means or. So each part gets an or. Then yataidang bhikkhave is as this, O monks. And then samaditti, right view. And so the text is saying, I do not perceive, O monks, even one other thing, because of which, that's yena, unarisen, unwholesome qualities do not arise, or arisen unwholesome qualities decrease, as this, O monks, right view. So samaditti is right view. And then in the next sentence, we have samadittikassa. Again, we have ka. Ka, again, makes it one with, or a person of. So a person with right view. In this case, the case is dative case. For a person with right view. For one of right view. I thought I thought you were all there because your pictures were there. Only about 2 minutes ago they told me that your pictures were frozen. But you should get it from the recording, because you missed a lot.
Yeah.
But next week we'll have to either go someplace else or check the connection. Okay, we are at the bottom of page one. So, samaditti kassa, for one of right view, O monks, then anupana, unarisen, unwholesome qualities do not arise, and arisen, unwholesome qualities decrease. You see, the structure, it's exactly the same. It's just the terms are different because of the situation. So any questions on any of this?
Yeah, Bhante, I just have a question from before.
Okay, you could ask it.
The list of untamed, unguarded, unprotected, unrestrained, are they all, how do we find out whether they past participle or noun that are defined or pure adjectives?
You don't really have to be very much concerned with whether they're past participles or adjectives, because the past participles often function as adjectives. So you just have to see whether they are being used.
That's when you're going to get an answer.
What's happening?
You know what? At least Monte will answer on the tape.
It must have gotten frozen.
It's no, it's not frozen.
No, maybe on her side. You were frozen to us.
Oh, no. Okay, you have a string of terms, a series of terms. You don't have to be concerned, is it a past participle? Is it a real adjective? Because first, the past participles are often used as adjectives. And so what you have to do is see whether it is these terms are being used in relation to a real noun. If there's a real noun there, then you can be sure that whether they are pure adjectives or past participles, they're being used as descriptive terms for a noun. So in fact, these are all past participles, because we know something about the endings for a past participle. Usually it's this either T-A or sometimes it's I-T-A. So, dantang, a good tongue, a rucky tongue, a sangbu tongue. So we could see those are past participles. But though they're past participles, they're functioning as adjectives to describe something else, which is a full-fledged noun, and that is chitang. And so from this, we can see that these are past participles being used as adjectives. Okay, any questions on anything covered so far? Okay, what I'm going to do is leave this like one more paragraph or one more passage in the beginning reading section. I'm going to leave that for next week. But it'll take me 10 minutes, 15 minutes to go through that. And so next week we come to something called further readings. And you know what further readings means?
Further homework. Further away from our understanding.
It means that
further.
I bring my Havana cigar.
We stay home.
No. and I can sit here and puff on my Havana cigar and just say, Venerable Hubao, Carolyn, Venerable Hung Lee. So you try your best. Don't be afraid. There's no grades. Well, maybe I should I submit grades? Bhante Dhamma Dipa? Do you like to have them graded?
Surely on effort.
And the way to do this, I sent it on an email, but I repeat it. To really get the grip on the language, you have a notebook, you assign 3 lines to 1 line of Pali. Or you could print, if you use that Chinese translation in which you find the whole Pali passages, you just take the line of Pali, either write it or print it, but leave some space. Then first you write word for word translation and make sure you understand the function of the word in the sentence. You know, whether it's the verb, whether it's, if it's a noun, whether it's nominative, accusative. Dative, genitive, whatever. So you just translate word for word. And then the third line, or maybe at the end of the passage, maybe you just leave the line, 1 line for the word for word translation. But then at the end of the whole sentence or whole passage, then you translate it again into the best English you could manage. And if Rukwa Yinwang Tai Nan Kai Yong Chongwan Make Wan Shi Kasha Woyao Kanjian Ni Ting De Dong Nega Ju sentences Ju the Isa.
Are we doing all of these?
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Maybe sometime, like 1 or 2 sentences, you have to tell them, make sure you definitely have to be prepared these 1 or 2 sentences.
Yeah, but that ties in with somebody said all of this.
Like there was sentence, like the first, I mean, like one, they have. One, I mean, there are so many paragraphs here.
Yeah.
So every time you ask a student, that for sure they are going to prepare. For
yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
They can point out for a person.
Let us say that, you know, really, what it looks like a lot. So when you look at this, you think, oh, so much. That's because you haven't looked at the actual words. But if you look at the words, you'll see that exercise one.
Five paragraphs.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, paragraph. Okay, now paragraph 1 and paragraph 2 are a pair. They have the same structure. So just one is positive, negative, one is positive. Paragraphs 3 and paragraph 4 are, again, a pair.
That worked for a minute.
Excuse me? I paused when the line broke.
See if I can call him.
Okay, paragraph 3, paragraph 4 are identical. Paragraph 5, it seems on quick glance a little more complicated, but basically the same structure. So once you do paragraph 1, pretty much you have the rest of it under your belt. But if you think it's too much, okay, but now look at paragraph 2. Oh, this is really, it's really like, as far as figuring things out, it's one sentence. And all of this, one, you figure out the first sentence of number 1. I'm sorry, the first sentence in section 2, and then everything else just falls right into line. Because all of it is basically the same structure, it's just one word and each will be changed. You know, so when you write it out in the notebook, you don't have to write out each paragraph, but you write out the paragraphs where you have to work out the terms. And then when you see later sentences that just have the same structure, you could just write out for your memory what is the word that's different in that sentence. Okay. Excuse me?
Sounds good.
They've taken great care to sort of build up the book very gradually. Mm-hmm. So you don't get, except that they put a real lot of grammar in. And sometimes the explanations are a bit technical. But that's where I'll try to explain and give examples. Okay, so now we're finished for the afternoon. Any questions, remaining questions? Okay, so we end with the three bows. Yeah, let me just save it.